ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। ओम नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। ओम नमो भगवते नरसिंहाय। नमस्ते तेजस तेजसे आविराविर्भवा नखः वज्रजंश्च कामाशयन् रन्धय रन्धय तमोग्रसाग्रस ॐ स्वाहा। अभयम् अभयम् आत्मनि भूयश्च ॐ श्रो। Can open some window, at least somewhat. Is this the first temple of Nrsimhadeva in the West, in this Kali Yuga? Is it? And who was that was asking, why are you worshipping a cat? Prithiprabhu, some priest, yes, said in the morning. People in the Western world, they don't have any idea of all these things. That reminds me of the one narration is given of Srila Prabhupada in the early days of the very early days of the movement, that some of the hippies who were coming to that storefront temple in New York, Second Avenue. Anyone been there? You've been there? Anyone else been there? That small storefront. You're planning to go there where? Next month? Anyone? Ladies' side? No? It's a place of pilgrimage in New York City. So they were coming. They weren't really disciples yet, but they thought to do something to please the Swami. So they got some pictures from an Indian import store, which in those days was quite unusual. Nowadays you can buy all kinds of things. I just bought in London some Trifala Churna and Hingvashtak Churna, which devotees asked me, why don't you take more from India? I said, no, I get it there. In those days, no, you also don't know what it is, but some Ayurvedic medicines. So anything from India is very exotic, but of course to keep up the pride of New York City, you have to be able to buy anything there. So there's an Indian import store, and so they got some pictures. When I was first preaching in India, we go in any Hindu home and they'd have these pictures, demigod pictures, pictures of Krishna, in all the homes. Nowadays, not, but it was in all the homes. Did you see that in your childhood? Everywhere. Now, pictures of Shah Rukh Khan, Aishwarya, when she was younger, and Spider-Man, Sachin. After Krishna, that must be in my lectures the most quoted person. So, getting off on tangents here. So they had these posters put up, but they weren't sure, because from hearing from Swamiji, they had some idea that some things are okay and some things are not okay. So they after decorating the storefront with these pictures, they asked Swamiji, as he was known at the time, is this picture okay? Is this picture okay? And then they came to a picture of Hanuman. They said, they asked Prabhupada, is this okay? Oh yes, this is very nice. And then one of them asked, well, what is it? Is it a cat? And the commentary is given there that millions of people in India worship Hanuman, and they all know all the stories of Hanuman. It was a monkey. Vanara. Vanara. It's not exactly like the monkeys who jump around in India even today. But Vanara. So they have no idea. So similarly, we have a temple of Nrsimha here. And Nrsimha has been we should talk from the spiritual point of view, but speaking from the anthropological point of view, Nrsimha has been a major figure in India's culture for generations. When we're talking about generations in India, we're not talking about since the Industrial Revolution. We're talking about going way, 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 way back. So all over India is well known, and especially in South India and Orissa, South Orissa, but everywhere. And living in India, as I do, most of the time, you regularly visit Nrsimha temples, old temples. Old means old by Indian standards, not by German standards. So we have a little preaching center, don't we? At Namakkal, it's 1 hour from Salem. Namakkal is famous for Swayam Prakat, Nrsimha deity. Just in the mountain, in a cave, Nrsimha appeared, and he's been worshipped there ever since. And Hanuman's there also. Hanuman came recently. How long is that? He was there? But he's been growing recently, or what? But then he must be growing quite slowly then, but he keeps on growing. He is an open-air deity. You're not supposed to put deities open-air. But Hanuman is in the open air. If anyone tries to build a roof over him, the roof just breaks. So he likes to be in the open air, and he's facing Nrsimha Dev. So, yeah, there are so many temples and culture and history. And establishing these temples, that should also develop here. That the whole culture, in the sense of history, and then there are great devotees connected with that, in all the holy places. Just like in Vrindavan, we go there and we see the different place of Krishna's pastimes. But it's not only the place of Krishna's pastimes, and that's fully spiritual and transcendental in itself. But there are also so many places where devotees lived, and the pastimes they performed there. I'm not talking when Krishna was personally present, but even much more recently. In our own Gaudiya Sampradaya, there are places of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and other sampradayas, great devotees also, and the deities they installed and worshipped. And it becomes a cumulative culture. So, and when you go to a holy place, there's so many things. If someone wanted to write a book about Vrindavan, where would you begin? It would take a team of scholars, lifetimes to all the different holy places and every temple. They all have a huge history. So it's a whole great culture. So that should be established here also. Of course, we should establish the culture that should be learned from India, not from punk rockers or adopting the local culture. But naturally, there'll be some mixing with the local culture, but we should know that Krishna's Vedic culture is that culture that will help us to come closer to Krishna. Despite some rather odd but increasingly influential propaganda, Krishna dresses in a certain way. Krishna doesn't dress in blue jeans. Now, some people say, well, there's no evidence that Krishna dresses in a dhoti, but And Prabhupada says he does. That's evidence, isn't it? In Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Prabhupada, so he sees Krishna and dhoti, he says, Prabhupada says that Krishna is wearing dhoti. So we may wish that Krishna was wearing blue jeans, but it's bogus. So better to adopt this culture, Krishna's culture. So I invite you all, when you should all go to India sometime. You have to preach in the West also. It's not that everyone has to go to India, but when you, if you're down in South India, please, you can visit that Salem temple. It's a Brahmachari temple, but there are many Grihasthas connected with it, so Grihasthas are also welcome. You can spend some time there. We can take you to Namakkal. We have a preaching center there, in the where the Hussain, there's the old Nrisimha temple. Just see modern India, that Namakkal is a place of Nrisimha worship, but the main, there are two, it's a wealthy town, and the two major sources of economic activity, one is trucking business, and the other is eggs. So, go there and preach to them. Tell them, don't eat eggs, chant Hare Krishna. And then, yeah, Namakkal, that's on the way to Sri Rangam. That's another place where just like massive, massive culture. Huge, huge culture. This, the most important of the 108 Divya Desham's, holy places of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, huge culture is going on there. So that should be established here also. This temple was founded 31 years ago, was it? 31 years ago. That's one generation. Within one generation, of ISKCON, the purposes and the for which this temple was founded and the outlook of the devotees has changed significantly. One reason is because of political changes in the area. I'm not sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this was what Prabhavishnu Swami told me when I first came here. We came in 1986. We came together. When I say we came together, I was accompanying him. I was Brahmachari at that time. And we came in from England, and we came here specifically to visit, to get Nrisimha Dev's, to pray for Nrisimha Dev's mercy, because we were going to Russia. That was the first time he went to Russia, the first time I went to Russia also. And at that time, it was a very tense situation. It was just toward the end of the Warsaw Pact period. But just toward the end, it became very intense. The last two heads of the Communist Party or whatever, Andropov and Chernenko, and then came Gorbachev, who loosened everything up. But the last two rulers were much heavier than Brezhnev had been in. They were both in for a short time. So it was a very, very heavy period. And what Prabhavishnu Swami told me was that this temple was specifically founded here, just very close to the Iron Curtain, the Czech border. That's the beginning of the other world. So the idea was, because it's so difficult and dangerous to preach there, that Nrisimha was installed. No one thought to install Nrisimha deities, because Srila Prabhupada installed Gornitai and Radha Krishna. But Nrisimha Dev was installed, so he told me, for getting blessings and protection for preaching in that area. So one reason that the outlook of this temple has changed is because there's no iron curtain anymore. Srila Prabhupada said that if you distribute... There was always this fear that nuclear war not only can break out at any time, but it will do. It was just a matter of time. In our generation growing up, there was this idea that it's not a matter of will there be a nuclear war between Russia and the West, they used to say. Although USSR, but it's just when, that's all. So Srila Prabhupada said that nuclear war can be averted by distributing my books in Russia and in that whole area. So that was going on. Somehow or other, the book distribution was going on to Russians outside the Soviet Union. There were embassies, and then people in the different countries, and the people working in the embassies would come out to go shopping or sunbathing on the beach or something, and they'd get the books. You had to hunt them down. Ships would come into docks. I went once on a ship, a Russian ship that came into Calcutta and just went on, and they didn't know what was going on. They said, just wait here. In the meantime, I put a few books here and there on the different shelves and this and that. It was such a different atmosphere. Now we say Russian, but those days it was like a heavy thing because there's all this propaganda it might have been true that the Russians want to kill us all. And I guess it was like that in Russia also, that the Americans want to kill us all. Better red than dead was a saying. You get that? So let them make us all communists rather than us all dying. So they used to say better red than dead. And Bulgaria, well, that little country, was comrade of a lot of the dirty work overseas was done by the Bulgarian secret service, so we're told. Maridha Prabhu told me recently he went to Spitsbergen in Norway, which is in the Arctic Circle, because Russians had to come there to fly somewhere or other. So they regularly came there. So him and his wife, they'd go and give books there. So as they were distributing books somehow or other in Russia, and they're getting them printed and smuggled in, and it was a whole thing. So anyway, the outlook has changed in that sense. And also our movement has changed in many ways. Many ways which we couldn't have imagined one generation ago. I won't like to speak so many things, because many of the ways it's changed are not very happy ways. But the good news is that Gaurangore Nritya Nitya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing always goes on. So even though we may dance to a different tune, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is eternal. And this is the time for the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become prominent in the world. So the opportunity to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission is always there. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. So if we just do what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to do, then the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flows. Now, one of the important aspects of Srila Prabhupada's preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is establishing rural communities for Krishna consciousness, and that was part of the vision of getting land in the country here also. You may say, well, who are you going to preach to here? We're meant for preaching. But this movement is meant for preaching, and when we preach to the people, we want them to be in Krishna consciousness, to take up Krishna consciousness, and those that who want to take it up. Srila Prabhupada had this vision of establishing rural communities in which devotees can live together and live simply on the land, away from the polluting influence of the cities. Polluting influence of the cities means not only air pollution, water pollution, food pollution, but worst of all is the mind pollution, pollution of consciousness by associating with materialistic people. So although it is possible to be Krishna conscious in any circumstance, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish rural communities in which devotees could live and show people how we can live peacefully, happily, and healthfully by Krishna's plan, instead of making our own plans of building factories and dams and huge power stations. When we were driving here from Munich, there was this huge, typical huge chimney of a power station, and there was clouds in the sky, and there was so much smoke coming out of this chimney. Huge, you know, the power station chimney. They're just huge, and you could see the smoke, and it merged with the clouds, and so it looked like all the clouds were being made from the smoke. It was just the same color exactly. So all of this is unnecessary. We can live peacefully on the land and live with devotees and chant Hare Krishna. Simple living and high thinking. So that was a major part of Prabhupada's mission. It's inspiring to see devotees chanting and dancing with a lot of vigor, and devotees are saying, oh, they're really very enthusiastic. But yeah, like the old days, except in the old days they were actually very charged up. You don't have to imitate or show that you can really pound the floors. They have to make very strong floors. He has 200 brahmacharis with full adrenaline jumping hard and then jumping and pounding in kirtan. So that's very nice to see that there's still that enthusiasm for that. That enthusiasm for chanting and dancing comes from Krishna. From Krishna, it's Krishna's gift. Enthusiasm, it's Krishna's reciprocation that we feel happy in Krishna consciousness, and we want to sing and dance. Srila Prabhupada pragmatically saw that, well, Brahmacharya is bliss. Prabhupada liked the German Brahmacharis. But most devotees, most people in the world are married, will be married, or if they're not married, they should be married, and then they're living together or something like this. So, facility for them to come together, chant Hare Krishna, associate with each other, take strength from each other instead of their energy being sucked away in the modern way of life. In the modern way of life, even if you want to be Krishna conscious, you have to go to work. Here in Germany, people go very early, isn't it? 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll find all the people are already traffic jams. Germany didn't become a or is not an economically powerful country just by what is that? Nahi suptasya singhasya pravishante mukhe mrigam. The lion is the king of the jungle, but the animals don't enter into his mouth if he just lies down asleep. They don't come and say salam, namaste, and enter his mouth. He has to go and get them. So the Germans became economically strong by working hard. So who wants to be Krishna conscious in this country, but they have to maintain a family, this, that, they have to work hard also. We become sucked into that. So the time that we need to spend for sadhana, for many, most of our grihastha devotees all over the world, they don't get that time because they have to work. And of course you could say, well, they could do book distribution or something like that, but not everyone has the strength to do that. So they get caught and with that and with bad association, and we find that statistically, if we were to analyze, we'd probably find that most devotees have taken initiation have not stayed steady on the path of Krishna consciousness. And there may be various reasons for that, and one of them has to be being because they're sucked into the materialistic way of life, bad association. The combination of bad association and not being able to, not having enough time to, or not being able to focus properly on sadhana, it's a killer for spiritual life. If you think about it, that someone's come to the level of initiation means they're serious. They had some good intent. This is not easy, especially in the Western world. It's not easy anywhere, but in the Western world where the culture is one of gross sense gratification, and the culture works against Krishna consciousness. Nowadays it's better than it used to be, but still, it's by no means the norm to be a vegetarian. It's known and accepted in the Western world. Maybe not very much in Italy, still, is it? It's picking up slowly. But in Italy, France, Spain, these countries, it's not well accepted as it is in England or America, for instance, and probably in Germany. It's quite well known and accepted to be a vegetarian. Is it here in Germany? Yeah. So that's there, but to not take alcohol, I would think, still in Germany and most of Europe, it's still considered something very strange. And it can be very difficult also, because you can't socialize with people. What to speak of not taking tea and coffee? No gambling. Well, gambling is not so widely pervasive in society as eating meat and drinking. And no illicit sex. Yeah, to follow all these rules. And these are the four rules, and of course there are other rules also, that we're not supposed to be watching TV, even vegetarians, but we're not supposed to just eat here and there. We're supposed to take only food offered to Krishna, and that is offerable to Krishna according to the standards of Shastra, not that you can just buy some bread from a shop and offer it and call it prasadam. Krishna, eat this because I want to eat, so, and I'm supposed to offer it, so eat it and hurry up. So there are so many rules to follow, and the culture is not at all supportive of that. So anyone who comes for initiation, it means they have to have some measure of seriousness. They have to be serious. But again, they get pulled down in many cases, very unfortunately. So these rural communities are meant for giving shelter and support and creating a culture in which devotees can come and live and be devotees together. So that was prominent in the minds of devotees for several years after Srila Prabhupada departed from our mortal vision, because Srila Prabhupada himself had stressed the importance of this. It's not easy, no doubt. In many ways it's not easy to establish such communities, but it should be done. It should be done. That is required for spreading Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we're trying to preach and we bring people in, but to maintain them in Krishna consciousness throughout life. Some can do so living in the cities, but it's difficult. And it's not easy to set up such communities, but it should be done. Then the Krishna consciousness movement can grow more and more and more. Otherwise, if we're just criticizing the Karmi Society, which we are supposed to do, that Srila Prabhupada did, and we should point out, it's not our business just to criticize and say it's wrong, but just to point out to people, well, it is wrong, and if you're part of this society, you're going to be affected by all the wrong ideas. There's a book published called Ideas Have Consequences, which seems to be an axiom, but it's a very important point to understand. The whole Nazi movement began with the idea of some perverse person. Those ideas got propagated, they caught on, and the rest is history, as they say. Lucky for us, it's history and not still going on. We were just discussing this morning this gay rights. There was no such. It was just they had some idea to change people's way of thinking about. I mean, even the word gay, they appropriated the word. Gay, that the word gay in English means happy, carefree, so they took over that word and used it for homosexuals, and by propaganda they've changed the way that people think about homosexuals. They've changed a major cultural change. So ideas have consequences. So we want to point out that this whole modern civilization is sick. Now, many people realize that to some extent. If you look on the internet, you can find many people pointing out how politicians are all bogus and cheaters and liars, and they have different agendas, but they don't see that it's not just the politicians, it's everyone. They're the ones who are writing it and pointing out the faults of the politicians, they are also part of the problem. In fact, one of the main persons who was connected with this Snowden whistleblowing thing, he's hanging out in Brazil now, because he doesn't want to go back to America, and he's living with his friend, male friend. So part of the problem. But it's they make such a big killing, they're killing so many people in Iraq, and the CIA and this and that, they're doing all these bad. But my dear sir, you're eating meat every day. You are part of an ongoing Holocaust. People don't know. They think, well, we'll make some human rights movement and humanism and everything will be all right and we'll all live peacefully and keep the slaughterhouse out of the cities. That's a so no one will know. But you can't kill animals and have peace in the world. So these things need to be pointed out. This is absolutely bogus, talking about peace and love and compassion and peace conferences, and not pointing out that you're killing millions of animals. It's completely bogus. Anyone who talks about peace and love and compassion and kindness to humans, what about the animals? They also have feelings. They're also living beings. So these things should be pointed out. But we also need to establish the positive alternative. It's not enough simply to criticize, but we have to show that, all right, your way of life stinks, but this is the alternative. We can show it. That will be very powerful preaching in and of itself. We can show, you see, people, you don't need ugra karma. You don't need all these machines and slaughterhouses and brothels and pornography. Dare I say it, we don't even need internet. Electricity, oh, that's too much for most devotees. In ISKCON Salem, there's no electricity. Well, we do have it, we're in the office for the computer and the internet. But not in the ashram and not in the temple. All the devotees protested, but in the beginning. And then after 3-4 days they got used to it and they're quite happy now. So people can't imagine living without electricity, but that's the way people live for untold generations. You may say, well, why not? You know, you just flip on the switch and it's easy, but if you got to pay the bill. And to pay the bill, you have to produce more than you need. And to produce more than you need, you have to put fertilizer, you have to work hard, and then you're just caught in all the economics again. And when there's electricity, then you want computer, internet, and then humidifier, fan. And it goes on and on. And on the internet, you can look at all the new, latest gadgets that you can buy. And it's unending. So, there are many people who would be impressed by this and would take our movement much more seriously if we did have this alternative. Now, of course, it'll take some time to... You just can't flip a switch and start a Varnashram community. But unless we start to think about these things, then it won't happen, because not only do ideas have consequences, but if we don't have the idea of this, then there won't be any consequence. If you don't think about it, then it won't happen. Thinking, feeling and willing, right? We all heard that. So at least we have to start thinking about it, and then we can take the next step, step by step. Shanai, shanai, uparamad. Dritya buddhi grihitaya. That's in Gita, Krishna says that we should make progress step by step with determination and intelligence. Very practical advice, isn't it? In any endeavor. So, farm community, Varnashram community, but first there has to be a strong preaching movement, and then the Varnashram community can develop as a consequence of that. That when we're preaching and then people come to be devotees, then we can establish communities. If we just make some community in the country and no one's preaching in the cities, then who will know about it and who will come? So Srila Prabhupada had this idea. All of Prabhupada's ideas are brilliant. That we have city temples And at a little distance, we have the farm community. So people, we preach them in the city, we bring them out to the country, they spend a little time there, they see, then they come back. And then they get some idea of how people can live, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. Then eventually some of them may want to join, or they may not join, but they may continue living in the city, because not everyone will take up that country life. But they can go from time to time and get inspiration from that, and they can bring that. It's nice to bring your friends like this. And Srila Prabhupada also said that we have cows, then we produce milk, and the city temples can sell the ghee. Sorry, the farms can produce ghee, and in the cities we should have restaurants also. So people can take prasadam cooked in ghee. One of Srila Prabhupada's major preaching strategies was ghee. It tastes wonderful. I think you all have experience of that. It's such a very good flavor, far surpassing that of vegetable oils. And it is an excellent food. Then, if you have a taste for ghee, then it becomes much easier to give up the taste for meat and food cooked with animal fats. And in that way, it's a kind of preaching, because people are like, oh, that's wonderful. I can't imagine such nice food. And then we preach also about the value of cow protection along with that, and this, the milk and the ghee, they nourish the brain tissues, which are good for spiritual advancement, and that helps to put people bring people to the mode of goodness. So in all, it's like, you know, everything, all interlinked and connected. Preaching in the cities, farms, restaurants, all interlinked. And then preaching, the book distribution is the main thrust. Along with that, regular Harinam. If we do regular Harinam, then definitely people are going, they're going to get curious at least. They're going to get purified. And what's that all about? And then they'll take books at least out of curiosity, and they'll start to read it also. What's that? Because they see devotees are just so happy. And why are they doing this? Why are they doing this strange thing, coming out every day in those strange clothes and singing? And it's all so strange, but they look so happy. What's it all about? So the Harinam Sankirtan, and then the restaurants with the best vegetarian food imaginable, or beyond the imagination. Actually, it's beyond the imagination. And many, many devotees had that. I mean, I certainly had that experience being vegetarian before coming to the temple, and coming to the temple and taking prasadam, and just beyond the imagination how food could be so mind-blowing, as we used to say in those days. You're not supposed to say that now. Jayavada Swami told us. It's hippie jargon. Then there are all kinds of scientific preaching. There's so many bogus ideas in the world. There's great opportunity for preaching now, because the atheistic bloc, I don't know how prominent it is here in Germany, in the English-speaking world, the atheists, with the God delusion, and they're making big problems. It's great. No one was talking about God. Now they're talking about God, so we should reply. But and the Christians have got all galvanized, and even the Muslims are coming up. But they really don't have any reply to the accusations of the atheists. What is this idea that your God, he burns you in hell forever? They don't have any answer, but they can't refute that because that's what Christianity is all about. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and if you don't believe that, then you burn in hell forever. That's their theology. It's also their theology that all the suffering, all the AIDS and flu epidemics and tuberculosis and Holocaust my mother was a very nice woman, but she just had an accident and suddenly died, leaving us four children. And all the suffering in the world, it's all because one of our ancestors ate an apple. This is Christian theology. So, being inspired by a talking snake, who we were told was Satan, although it doesn't say so in the Bible. So it's indefensible. It's Christianity is a tribal religion which somehow or other became, Judaism is a tribal religion which got, we heard a little bit in the morning how this Saint Paul, he just made up a whole new idea, nothing to do with anything that Jesus said, and then that's Christianity. So, but we actually have very good theology, excellent theology, and we have answers, which the Christians, they don't have. They can't explain. Oh, there are many things to say about this, so many things. So many things. No time now, but that should all be taken up. We have great preaching opportunities. Great. The future is bright if we simply stick to what Prabhupada gave us, have faith in what Srila Prabhupada taught us. There may be many approaches in preaching, but the main preaching that Srila Prabhupada did was to, like this book distribution, chanting, public chanting, and telling people the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That we're explaining, not just telling, but explaining how we're not the body, we are all controlled, there is a supreme controller, we are meant to be happy. Just this, the basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, it's, if we just stick to this, the future is very bright. So, let us pray for the mercy of Lord Narasimha, who has kindly manifested here, to shelter and protect the devotees. Narasimha Madim Sharanang Prapade, we pray. Narasimha, who is the original person, who is the shelter of everyone, we surrender to him. So surrender to him means we take shelter. You can't take shelter without surrendering. So let us take shelter of Nrsimhadev and push on this Sankirtan movement. It's a huge project. Huge project. It's let all the people of the world, at least they should know what is the Hare Krishna movement. Not only know that, many people don't even know that it exists, but they should know, not only that it exists, but they should know what the teachings are. There's interest, increased interest in karma and reincarnation, but people don't have any clear idea about it at all. We can explain. No one else can explain. Ask the Dalai Lama about reincarnation. He can't explain it. He doesn't know. He doesn't know how it works. We do. We should explain. People are interested. We can explain. We can also explain that because the Dalai Lama is eating meat every day, his next birth is not going to be a very good birth. He's a sinful person. It's not just that by talking about peace and love and being a Buddhist that you're exonerated from all karma when you're eating meat every day. So we should explain these things. We have so much work to do. So this work begins with working on ourselves. We have to purify our own hearts. It's no doubt, it's not easy to be Krishna conscious. So we pray to Nrisimhadev to protect us. Most of us don't live here. We have to go here and there. But yato yato yami tataha Nrisimha. Wherever we go, we should remember Nrisimha is there. So we can remember him and pray for his mercy, take shelter of him. Hare Krishna, now it's time for arati. Any question until the door opens, we can go on. No, all right, everything should be clear. All right then. What will the effect be if we just distribute books without having regular Harinam Sankirtan? The effect will be very good. If we do with regular Harinam Sankirtan, it'll be also much better. They should go, as Srila Prabhupada said, they should go on side by side. Anything else? Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prahlad Narasimhadeva ki jai, Hare Krishna.